Sullivan, and you're listening to Swan Feather Radio, a podcast series about creatives, innovators, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders sharing their experiences in our cultural economy. For each episode, we pair two wonderful people for a conversation that we believe is important to share. We hear them discuss their work and creative process, what influences have guided their decisions, and those with whom they've shared their journey. Swan Feather Radio is presented in association with our friends at WeTransfer and Warner Music Group.
My name is Streeth Sridhar. I am a media strategist and artist advocate, formerly the head of creative initiatives at BitTorrent, where I worked on distribution for a creator network of about 30,000, including Zach, who I'm here with today.
I'm Zach Tetro. I'm a musician and creative entrepreneur, I guess you would say. I'm fascinated with the live event space and creating experiences that are unique and bring people together.
What you guys saw and started to put together was, I mean, it's been described as a festival for the future, and I guess, what does that mean to you? Like, how should the live experience evolve or grow out of where it is right now? Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, so many of these festivals like the Coachellas and the Bonnaroos and all these things, they're amazing. They're good for the artists in so many ways. They really are. Like, you could be connected to tens of thousands of people who either already love your music or may love it after you finish your set. But what it doesn't allow you to do is really, like, connect with the other artists that are performing with you at the festival, or to like really meet the people who are coming to see you, or form like a true connection to the place that you're in. Oftentimes it's like a converted parking lot or something like this. So we just really became fascinated with the idea of bringing people to this place where you're almost like entering into like this new world when you drive into the site, and therefore your like consciousness is like sort of elevated in some way, and like you just start to think about things like how did this coffee get here that I'm drinking in the morning. Just little things start to become more relevant and more impactful. So yeah, I guess that's the beauty in it, is that that artists are doing this because it's something that they haven't gotten in a long time, or maybe ever, from the live space, and it requires a lot of trust on their part to us and what we're doing. It's been a very tricky endeavor in getting artists who aren't necessarily within my reach or my friends to do this thing. It's like a leap of faith for them and for booking agents and managers to say like, yeah, I've read a lot of good things about this. It sounds really beautiful. We'll do it for, you know, half of our fee that we normally do. And yeah, it's a total like building block style thing where I'm just trying to improve it every year and stay true to the ethos of this thing.
Totally. And I think from a from an event perspective, I think one of the beautiful things about Arcosanti is the spirit of discovery. Like, if it takes you to a new place, but also my experience of it too was being able to uncover some of these new artists. And I think even in our work together in BitTorrent, right, like seeing millions of people download and stream your work is remarkable. And it's remarkable to me too because it tells a very different story about how people are engaging with creativity. It tells me that the underground is massive, and it tells me that stuff that's like quote unquote indie has a place in the world. I think, like, from your perspective, what are some of the challenges that you face as a creator getting discovered, or how have you been able to manage that and manage your own growth within the band?
Yeah. It can be tough, especially with like conventional tactics of record labels and the industry. You know, I think it's like so important to think freely about how to get this music out there, whatever it is. And you know, we've been so lucky to have a label that supports us working with platforms like BitTorrent to do these like completely unorthodox campaigns that are actually insane for 99% of record labels out there. but being a, you know, being a band who largely came up on, you know, in music on like downloading illegally and these things, like just to get our hands on as much music as we could, that's always been super important to us. And you know, we haven't been a band that's traditionally ever had any expectation on that record sales would like drive our career. For some, that's not the case, and like I totally respect that. And people artists who have a firm stance on keeping their music off of these streaming services, you know, I think that's commendable as well, because they've built their careers up to this point without needing it. But for someone in the underground and who's just trying to be heard, I think it's important to stretch as far as you can and experiment and come up with these interesting campaigns, like the bundles that you guys were doing, where you can offer so much more than just the record, but like what about the behind the scenes and like the sketches and the demos and the everything else that goes along with it. So I think it's just super important to push more beyond just the conventional record cycle, which I think is becoming pretty apparent nowadays. No one seems to be doing it that way anymore. I think platforms like BitTorrent and these more unconventional digital platforms for artists are so important. I'd love it if you would tell me more about that and about everything that you've been involved in these past years.
Yeah, so with BitTorrent and with our self-distribution platform, BitTorrent Now, it started as a marketing initiative. It started as a way to rehabilitate the brand of BitTorrent within the community that arguably it had impacted the most, the creative community. And we started a series of experiments. One of the first artists that we worked with was Cascade, and it was literally a test. Will people engage with your work in exchange for an email address? Like, that is a proxy for kind of a value exchange. From there, we ended up building a product. So it was no longer kind of a marketing campaign. We had an engineering team behind it. We had a team directed or focused exclusively on artist outreach behind it. And the ethos from the very beginning is, I mean, something that you touched on earlier. It's that the internet, like the beauty and the curse of the internet is that it's sort of dissolved and changed and evolved every single business model. Mm-hmm. And there's no, you know, there's no longer going to be just one way to monetize content. There will be multitudes. And the idea behind the platform is give creators every single opportunity to be able to derive value from their work. If it's an email address, if it's a free stream, if it's a direct transaction, all of these can be used. And I think with that, like being able to take down some of the barriers to storytelling that live online, like I think we all feel pretty strongly that MP3s aren't the future of music. And what you guys did, bringing people into your process, showing sort of sketches, showing videos, showing artwork, like creating kind of this context and this journey behind an album, that became really important. I think anachronistically, we were very inspired by the rise of vinyl and the idea that something heavy and substantial could live online. So that was sort of the other piece behind it. The platform's grown tremendously. It's now 200 million people, 200 million fans, and it's a network of 30,000 artists. I think the focus for us over the course of the past year has truly been like, how do we resource creatives better? Not just sort of give them the tools, but how do we get behind them? And how do we sort of shift a paradigm where it's like digital studios buying content to something that actually affects the creative community? How do we invest in these creators? How do we back them? And that sort of focus coupled with what we've seen on our platform, which is that bands like 100 Waters or collectives like Rat King are generating these huge followings. Like, fuck, like this is a group of people that we do need to get behind because every other platform is ignoring them. And that kind of led us to the Discovery Fund. And that's a grant initiative that we announced in August with the intent that if you have a project that that you've conceived of that's sort of in late stage, right? Like we don't want to come in as producers. Then we'll get behind it. And there are tiers of commitment from 2K, like a micro grant, to 100K. And creators keep all the rights. It's your work, it belongs to you, as do your fans. And we've literally just started. We have hundreds of applications. We've released two projects, but super excited to see how it unfolds. I think, again, back to the very beginning, like, we need to imagine a future for music and for film that's format agnostic. And I hope that some of the kids who are applying into the platform can help us invent what that is, because it hasn't been done yet. And so that's sort of the long winding story of BitTorrent. But
Is the Discovery Fund just for music?
It's for everything. So again, because we aren't sort of beholden to like format requirements. It can be music, it can be film. We've had virtual reality projects come in. It could even be an event project, for example. So I think, again, anything that that represents something uncompromising and truly original is something that we want to get behind. So like there really are very few constraints, which is kind of like a gnarly grant application. It's like, whatever you want, tell us what you want to do, and we'll get behind it. I'm curious, what is the application process like for the festival for creators in that community to get in?
Yeah, so when we sort of like came up with this whole concept of doing a festival at Arco Santi, one of the biggest factors was the limited capacity to this space. The amphitheater really only holds like 1,500 to 2,000 people, so we knew that we couldn't have more than that come to the festival as a whole, because we want everybody to see every performance. So how do you limit, limit and invitation pool to that few people when there's so many more that want to go? So yeah, we started asking interested participants to fill out like a short application. And the first couple of years, it was a little bit more manageable than it is now, where we only had between like 1,000 and 5,000 applications to go through each year. But that's now started to sort of spiral as like more interest has grown in the festival, to where this year we had like almost 10,000 applications and really could only invite like 1,500 of them. There definitely are aspects to the process, to the application process, that we can hone in on to make it a little bit easier. But we try to be open-ended and let people just tell us about what inspires them and like sort of like what roles creativity play in their life, and like you discover like these really interesting little things about people.
Yeah, totally. I think like, again, probably a blessing and a curse that like we shared the same sort of like open-ended ideology, but that felt really important. I think not guiding people's ideas, letting them come to us with a specific proposal has generated much better returns than I think a simple form could have.
Totally. Yeah, we didn't want it to ever be about like what your job is specifically, or like, you know, what your position is at your company. It's not, like, definitely not about that. You know, also I think having the scholarship program for the festival, much in line with the Discovery Fund, has been like a huge like anchor to our project and sort of cultivating this like creative spirit and bringing people out who maybe have never even been to a festival because they can't afford them.
Swan Feather Radio is supported by WeTransfer. They help us with providing the easiest way to send large files to our creative community. WeTransfer uses its wallpaper background to support a diverse cross-section of talent, and you can learn more at WeTransfer.com.
At BitTorrent, and again seeing the way that independent creators have embraced the platform but also found audiences in the platform, how do you think that we can better promote like diversity and a culture of experimentation in music?
Oh yeah, I think everyone needs to do a better job of that for sure. And I mean, obviously in the festival space there's just this like total monocultural situation going on with predominantly male bookings. I don't even understand how that's, I mean, I do, but it's so baffling to me because there's like just so much out there and so many of my favorite artists are female. I think like people need to wake up and stretch a little bit more. And also I think that the way that a lot of festivals and events and record labels operate is solely based on like numbers, which I think is no longer as relevant. So yeah, I think booking in a more free, like liberal way that's less driven by statistics is super important. And I mean, how do you guys approach that topic in your programs?
So, I mean, I think that part of it is, weirdly, part of it is data driven. I think, the way in which certain creators have performed on our platform,
yeah,
like exceeds like my wildest understanding of how they could, right? Like, again, seeing collectives like Rat King or rappers like Little Sims or you know, documentaries like Rubble Kings generate all of this traction. Seeing like with even like a year back with the first film that we launched, which was David Cross's Hits. Mm-hmm. The average price paid for that was $68, like for a digital download, and 1.5 million people downloaded that.
Wow.
So it's there's this world where like the Billboard Top 200 does not exist, and
yeah,
it's like it's huge, right? And I think that's figuring out how to program for that. That's been our challenge too. I think we always look for creators that have embedded audiences, that have like an active dialogue with their fans. But like we also seek out the projects that are in their core challenging and perhaps weird and representative of something totally different. And that's truly how we've approached it. I think we've been lucky too. Like we've gotten, you know, we've gotten so much input and so much love from these communities who are inherently like weird and experimental. And so that it's been easy for us to get behind them. It's also, there's like, you know, if the convention is Spotify playlist, it's very easy to program your way around that. You just take that tier of artists out. And I think that's been really, really interesting for us. I think when you give people a platform and when you give people like the resources to reach their fans, you're doing something extraordinary. And I think for us, and for me particularly, like, that's pretty existential. If we can't get behind these creators, like, we're going to stifle the community. And when you can resource them, you're actually like, you're aiding diversity, you're aiding inclusivity, like, you're actually allowing for more ideas to percolate. And that's really important. I mean, it's important for our platform, but it's important for society as a whole. Like, diversity and free speech are kind of one and the same. So that, I mean, that's been kind of how we've viewed it, like, take the outsiders and champion them. Like,
yeah, totally. And I think another cool thing that can come from that is grabbing onto those folks who are promoting diversity and inclusivity and working with them in like a co-curatorial aspect, which is something that I've seen some festivals doing, where they'll, like, you know, bring on an artist to curate the festival themselves. I think that can even like go a step further, where the artist can then reach out to another artist and like have this like collaborative curatorial aspect to things, and same with record labels and or collectives like that. Just sort of let it snowball, like let the weirdness snowball. What do you think is causing this like lack of diversity in for example the Billboard Top 200?
So I think one of the root causes is that creators don't have agency. When creators do have agency and when they have visibility and when they have access to these resources, they can reach and unlock audiences. When they don't, they can't. And I think for that reason, we were super mindful of building something that could be as flexible as possible to creators, like from a storytelling perspective, from a monetization perspective, but also a community that was open enough to be able to get behind these artists, even if they were weird and unpredictable. But I think it comes down to agency. And I think that we can impact, you know, at BitTorrent, we can impact what happens on our platform. But across the board, there need to be changes that are made to sort of further agency and to further access. And with that, I think we'll see impact to, like, what, you know, what is documented on the charts or what is documented beyond. There are audiences there who are passionate and crazy about what will happen next and are looking to uncover it. And I think for both these fans, but also for creators, like, discovery is the blocker. I think that's sort of what we need to innovate around.
Totally, I agree. I definitely agree. I know dozens of artists who have these incredible ideas for music video trilogies and campaigns for their music, and they just have no, you know, they have no agency, they have no infrastructure, or any, you know, support to make this stuff happen, but it really can just be about that one tool that you have access to that can get you in front of the people that are gonna.
Yeah. I mean, it's trust too, and like that's something that you've come up against. Like, if it hasn't been done it before, like, we're going to be scared of it. Like, we're not going to understand how to quantify it. But like, if we keep envisioning music as like MP3s or music as an album or music as like a single, we're never going to get past this moment in time. Like, all we're going to have is like radio on the internet, which is not, like, I don't think that's a future that we want for music. What happens if we don't work to foster diversity? Like, what is the outcome of monotony on the charts or the same 10 artists being played over and over again? Like, what's the impact? What's the loss?
I mean, I think it's just a loss of cultural progression. You know, we kind of get stuck in a holding pattern in culture, which is the scariest thing imaginable. You know, I think the art suffers, and the artists suffer, that, you know, in the truest sense. You know, what do you have to look up for, up to, if everything's the same, or to learn from or be inspired by? We have to, like, you know, continue to innovate, and as a culture, that's the only way that we're gonna strike new ground and hear new things and see new things.
Has been associated, for better or worse, with disruption.
Right.
I think for us, that has been one of the biggest challenges, divorcing, like, BitTorrent from piracy, or explaining to people, like, what a torrent is, or what a hash is, or how, like, the actual internet works. Like, that is, that's been a piece of the challenge. I think the possibility and sort of the promise of the internet is the same promise of BitTorrent, something that is owned in common, something that's shared between artists and fans or end users. I think that the opportunity and the challenge is that, like, the nature of what art is so foundationally different than it was probably even 3 years ago when we started talking. Like, I think about what is a song now, and it's like, it's a meme, it's like a collaboration, it's a conversation, it's like an album like Kanye West, which will never ever be done. And I think that's the challenge that, like, we've been trying to build for, and that I've been trying to build for. How do you imagine art in a totally different context? How do you imagine, like, an album after the internet? And that's the opportunity for every creator, and that's a massive challenge too. It forces us to rethink almost everything that we know and love about music.
What's so exciting too, you know. It's like nothing is going to just remain the way it's been prior. Like, every day you can, like, somebody's putting out an album in a new way, or putting out a piece of art or music in just, like, some completely new way. It's so exciting, and you can, like, never catch up to it, and I hope that just, like, never ends.
Yeah, me too. I think it was one of the things I learned, like, we did a survey of all the creators that we worked with, and it was like, people are releasing new music, like, 3 times a week. Like, that is beyond for me to get my mind around. But it's really the idea that it could never be done, the idea that it's always moving, is scary, but gives me, like, a lot of hope. Mm-hmm.
I'm Michelle Sullivan, and you're listening to Swan Feather Radio. Swan Feather Radio is presented in association with our friends at WeTransfer and Warner Music Group.